Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Hedy, and as usual, I've got my friend Rod Fox over here. Rod, how's it going?
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing today?
Very good, very good. So the weather's great.
Well, after this summer, you know, 80-degree weather, it seems like, a cooling off period, you know, and it really shouldn't be, but it's back down to where it's very tolerable.
That's exactly right. Hey, we got some great guests in the room today.
We do. Back by popular demand, the folks from the Mudfoot Riverbillies Carp Tournament are here. Bill, your brother, is here, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the upcoming carp tournament, the third annual upcoming carp tournament.
Third annual carp tournament.
Yes.
People love
their
carp.
Well, I don't know about their carp, but I know they like catching them. So,
well, Bill, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you two?
Very good. Tell us a little bit about this carp tournament.
Well, this year it's on August 25th. The registration starts at 6 a.m. That's a.m. for people that don't know that there is a 6 a.m. It'll last all day. It's on the Raccoon River. Registration will be at Pattee Park in Perry, Iowa. If you don't know where that is, it's straight up 141. Can't believe you don't know where that is. One of the nicest places in Iowa.
Okay. Now, is it just past the 144 turnoff, the main drag? Is it on the right-hand side, Pattee Park?
It is. If you go into Perry, I'm trying to think of what's on the corner there. I don't know what the street names are. I know how to get there.
Okay. Just push it in the GPS. It's got to be in there somewhere.
There'll be signs out on the highway. It'd be easy to find.
Okay. Good.
Now, this is this whole thing is put together to benefit cystic fibrosis. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Hopefully, because we've been talking about it for 2 months now.
Yeah. There'll be three kids involved this year. In fact, we have one of them right here. How are you doing?
Good.
This is Dylan.
State your name.
This is Dylan Steele.
And his mom.
Yep. Melody's here.
They're from Woodward.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
The second best place in Iowa.
There you go.
Boy, have I been misinformed. Well, no. You know, I mean, I didn't realize until a few years ago when we started promoting this thing on our radio show, I didn't realize that there was even that big of a problem. I'd never really even heard of cystic fibrosis.
Wasn't even sure what it was.
Melody, when you were here last time, we talked a little bit about it. The public awareness on cystic fibrosis, you know, people have heard about it, but they don't really know how many people are afflicted by it. And the number, though large when you compare it to the general population, it isn't as, you know, the public awareness isn't out there like it should be.
Correct. There's probably about 30,000 people that are diagnosed with it. And when Dylan was diagnosed, it just kind of happened. He was having some other medical issues. Mm-hmm. And then they decided that they needed a test for the cystic fibrosis. Now it's a newborn screening.
Okay.
So more people find out to begin with. So like Dylan, we found out about 3 weeks.
Okay.
There are other people that don't find out until, I should say, didn't find out until they were like, some of them were 10 years old, some of them were 2 years old, so they had all these medical problems and really couldn't figure out what it was.
Really?
Now it's a newborn screening, so they know right from the get-go
whether the child has the gene or not. Okay. And then, so tell people a little bit about what cystic fibrosis is and what Dylan goes through.
Cystic fibrosis, it's an inherited, so they get a gene from mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
mom and dad, meaning you both have to have?
We both have to be carrying the gene in order for the child to get it. So it's like a 1 in 4 chance, you know, that he actually gets it. He could be a carrier.
Right.
But it's the 1 in 4 chance that he actually, you know, gets the disease. Hmm. And what it is, it's mainly a lung disease, but it also goes into your pancreas and your mucous membranes, the mucus is sticky and thicker than everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
So that causes problems with the pancreas, your lungs. Not that you're more, I don't want to say more susceptible, but yet if he gets a bug or a bacteria in his lungs, it's going to be harder for him to get rid of it than it would be for you and me and anybody else.
Right.
So that way it makes it a little bit harder for him to get rid of that stuff.
So as a for a daily type of routine, it's not just, yeah, I've got this, I take a pill in the morning, and you know, I go on with my day. There's some, you know, exercises that he has to participate in just to keep the strength in his lungs and the healthiness as good as he can get them, right?
Correct. He does, it's a vest. It almost looks like a life preserver that he puts on.
Right.
And then it kind of, it's got different frequencies in it, and so it kind of loosens that stuff up for him to get out. That's usually a 20-minute, two or three times a day. Three times, four times if he's not feeling well.
Right.
Twice a day, almost standard.
Yeah.
So he has to do that. He also does inhaled
medicines,
yep, that help
nebulizer
loosen that
type stuff
up. Yep.
Okay.
So those each take about 10-15 minutes apiece, along with his vest.
Yeah.
He takes pills every time he eats. So he usually takes probably about 30 pills a day.
Really?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So is there certain times of the year that afflict a person differently? Like during the wintertime, the pollen counts aren't as high, and it seems to be a little bit easier on him? Or, you know, this time of the year when there's, you know, the dust and pollen and everything else seem to be a lot higher, are they more afflicted at that time?
I think it kind of depends. Like with him, we're better during the summer because he's outside, he's playing, always active all the time. So that kind of keeps that stuff moving in there.
Mm-hmm.
During the winter, usually it seems like in January and February is when he may get a little bit sicker.
Mm. Just because the house being closed up.
And yep. Stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, he's not outside running around playing, riding his bike. You know, it's those cold times that he's sitting inside, and the only activity he gets is like PE at school.
Oh, okay.
So it seems like it's, for him, it's the cold months that we have a little bit harder time. You'd think it'd be the other way around because there's not that pollen cotton stuff out there, but.
You need to ride your bike in the house more often.
Yeah.
So it would make the Iowa winter worse than really it already is.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there's really no time off. You don't get, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm feeling pretty good today, so I'm not going to participate in my breathing treatments, or I'm not going to. So, I mean, yeah, and that's one of the things that, and Bill, you can kind of maybe speak about this, how the group of you that got together and decided to have a fundraising tournament, because you know that there's additional costs that people don't, you know, normally have.
Yeah, there's one of the neighbors down by where I live, which incidentally, if you don't know, I live down by Perry.
So
kind of pushing Perry. But one of the neighbors that doesn't live too far from me has a daughter that has cystic fibrosis, and before I got to know them, I'm like a lot of people, I'd never even heard of it, you know. And then you start seeing firsthand what they have to deal with and what the kids have to go through, and it you know, and the cost of the medication and everything, and there's no choice. You have to have it, you know. So it was thought something like this would be a good idea, and everybody around there likes to fish, and everybody around there is already fishing on the Raccoon River, so
sure.
It really has worked out well.
Just happens to be a carp problem on the
Raccoon River. Well, the drought this year is trying to take care of that also.
Parts of the Raccoon River you can walk across.
But the idea you guys got together and decided, hey, let's get this carp tournament. You know, it's not a fundraising event where, you know, half the money goes to administrative fees,
There's no bureaucracy at all here. Organization has no paid employees. Everything that's brought in gets paid back out. Half of the money that's brought in goes to three kids, and the other half is paid out for prizes.
Yeah,
there'll be half the proceeds this year going to the heaviest stringer, and half of it going to the biggest fish. I know last year we had a small prize for the smallest fish. That was kind of a joke. I don't think we're doing that this year. But
No, I mean, it's a great event. You know, the fact that you got a bunch of people that volunteer their time, you know, and
absolutely.
Yeah. And the people that really have a lot of time in this aren't here. There's a ton of people that are really, that, you know, kind of put this together. Without those people, you know, none of this happens.
Right. And again, you know, Tim, you've talked about this in the past where Midwest Basement Systems, when we give to charitable events, Midwest Basement Systems donating a boat and a trailer to this event, but it's to benefit the kids.
Well, and we have specific rules, and I think everybody should have some kind of rules if they're going to donate money. But for us, you know, there can't be any paid employees. All the money has to go to whoever it's supposed to go to.
Right.
You know, and which means, like Bill said, there's a lot of volunteers out there that make this kind of stuff possible.
Sure.
And without them, you know, this is important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we, you know, Midwest Basement System, second year supporting this, and it's done nothing but get bigger every year. So
actually, this is the third year that we've supported it. The first year we didn't get a boat, but last year we did.
Yeah.
This year we did. The first year it was just a monetary.
Yeah.
Thing.
So, but I mean, that's just it. I mean, when it's going to affect people, you know, we want the kids to benefit from it. So
that's exactly right. You know, the way I see it, the grown-ups in the world, you know, not as though they don't deserve a chance or a second chance or a third
but they
chance
have choices
or whatever.
They can make.
But you can't solve the world's problems, so we're going to go ahead and try to help the kids if we can.
Absolutely.
yeah, that sounds like a great program. Have you guys got a little bit more time to stick around?
Sure.
Okay, good. Yeah. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back with more Around the House. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we've got the guys here from the Mudfoot River Billy's Carp Tournament.
Yeah,
and,
it's a fishing club, you know.
It is a fishing club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask about
this is not an amateur outfit here.
This is first rate. So it was a fishing club well before they started having these benefits?
Well, there had to be an organization that had – it's complicated, man.
Okay.
the fishing club was formed, you know, to do this, so,
yeah.
You know. It's
so what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we got the tournament coming up on August 25th. It's going to be up in Perry and taking place on the Raccoon River. But along with the – if you don't fish, there's other things that you can do.
That's right. There is. There'll be a bake sale, pretty good size bake sale if it's anything like it was last year. There will be the Avian Resources people are bringing an eagle down, which if you've never seen an eagle close up, is pretty cool. I didn't realize how big they were. The eagles that they deal with are, for whatever reason, unable to fend for themselves in the wild, and they kind of take them in and take care of them. And apparently, they like carp. So that's where all the carp goes.
They have an appetite, huh?
Yep.
Do they have those Asian carps up here?
I don't believe so.
Okay. You know the ones I'm talking about that are supposed to be such a big problem?
The ones that jump in your boat when you're riding along.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're just trying to get a free ride or what?
Apparently you can cook them and eat them, but they taste like crap.
No. But, you know, and last year you had the Avian Resources people there too, didn't you?
That's right, yep.
Yeah. So, yep. I mean,
that's how I know the eagles are as big as they are.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. So, you know, even like I said, if you don't want to participate in that, you know, they'll accept monetary donations at that
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely. But, bring your kids out. Let them look at a bald eagle up close. I don't know how close they'll let you...
Well, they've got a kind of a rope around it. You know, you can't go up and pet the bald eagle.
Yeah, no, it's still a wild animal.
Right, that's exactly right.
This wasn't raised as a tame bird. So,
yep.
But, so it'd be cool. I mean, for you that are listening, got kids and looking for something to do on Saturday. And what time will they have the bald eagle there? I think it's in the afternoon, isn't it?
It is in the afternoon. I'm really not sure what time the bald eagle shows up.
But I know from 2 to 6, that's what the flyer is saying in the lower left-hand corner there, Bill.
Oh, Eagle will be there from 2 to 6. Well, it'll be there from 2 to 6 p.m.,
For
man.
Sure, 2 to 6. You know, and then,
I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Why didn't you just say 2 to 6 then instead of putting me on the spot,
man?
You know, hey, I mean, if you're going to be involved in this carp tournament, you should have more knowledge than the guy asking the questions.
So. Boy, tough crowd.
Yeah. Well, I guess we've answered that question.
Yep.
But, you know, for those that are going to participate, you know, bait's available. Can they get a fishing license up there? Will there be anybody who can?
The DNR will be up there, but they are not selling fishing licenses as far as I know, unless they have changed their mind.
Okay.
Do they have a bait shop in Perry?
There is a couple of bait shops in Perry. There will be carp bait on sale. One of the people in the fishing club makes his own carp bait, Mr. Brian Gallivan.
Okay, good shout out to Brian.
He is
really into fishing almost to an unhealthy level. So they swear by the stuff that he has. So if you want to catch some carp, buy some dough balls from Brian.
Okay.
And two, all that money goes into the pot with the rest of it.
Good. So. Well, and again, with and how you can find out more information, you can get to this through the news and events of MidwestBasementSystems.com, or you can go to Mudfoot, and Mud is with two D's, M-U-D-D, Foot, River, Billies.com. You can Google search that, MudfootRiverBillies.com, and there's a PDF on the third annual Mudfoot Carp Tournament there. You can pre-register.
You can pre-register. You can send your registration to 23497 120th Place in Boughton, Iowa, 50039.
Yeah, there's specific information. Yeah.
Include your name, address, phone number, and fishing license number.
So, yep, and that'd be in care of the Mudfoot River Billies Fishing Club. So.
Yep.
But, again, the fishing is going to take place from Highway 30 down to Highway 6 on the Raccoon River, so... you've got a very large area.
Should be easy fishing this year because the water level on the Raccoon River is so low, the fish are in the holes.
Yeah.
You know? This would be like shooting fish in a barrel.
Hey, there you go. Nice. Maybe you can do that. Some of that hand fishing. What do they do that? Stick their hands for
catfish.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, they may have somebody who wants to hand fish.
Usually when I go fishing, it's up north, so I don't have to worry about either one of these fish.
Yeah,
but
you fish for something that's got teeth. That's why I wouldn't be hand fishing. So,
right.
But no, it's a great great opportunity for people to get out and participate in this event.
Tell me a little bit more about this disease. Is this something that you're more prone to getting pneumonia than when you get sick? Or
yes, I mean, if one thing for like we always try to watch out for is anything that is respiratory, mm-hmm. because again, he can get that stuff in his lungs and he can't, because his mucus is so much thicker and stickier than everybody else's. If it gets in there, a lot of times it'll just stay. So then if that happens, then we take another antibiotic, inhaled antibiotic, and some of it's like a 28-day on, 28-day off, and then it just keeps cycling that way. So So I try not to keep him isolated from anything because I don't want him to, like, not live life.
Right.
But yet there are some things that you just kind of have to watch because if, like, at school we kind of ask the teachers if, the kid next to him sitting at the desk next to him is – coughing and sneezing, can he be moved?
Sure.
Because you're going to be exposed to that stuff, but if you can see it, then we try to
close
to it.
Yeah. Just trying to limit it.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And are they pretty good about accommodating?
They are. They really are. Our school is wonderful with taking care of it. There's a school nurse that has been with Dylan since kindergarten. So they're kind of buddies and
sure.
kind of watch what's going on. And every year I talk to the new teacher and kind of talk about what's going on. And they all know about him and kind of watch all that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
but
now does your how does your medical insurance feel about all that?
It's not too bad. But
well, you ever known something good to start out like that?
The reason I ask, I'm not trying to bring up bad things. No. I'm just saying, there's a reality to this. There's a practical side to this. Outside of the fact that everybody's looking out for Dylan and everything, there's a practical side to this, and that's why we have to have events like this.
Yeah.
Are they, accommodating and is everything fine? Or
our insurance right now is pretty good. But yet it still doesn't take care of everything. It takes me about, 9 months to meet my 100%. And then, you got the next 3 months of the stuff that happens. So for stuff that Dylan has right now, it's kind of manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But as kind of a funny thing, I was talking to someone the other day and another family with CF, and they made a comment that, everybody else has a car payment. We've got hospital payments, just like everybody else has car payments. So it's just kind of – that's just kind of how it is,
Yeah. So, and that's – I think Bill, and the group that he belonged with recognized this, and they realized, hey, this is something that we can do something about to help these people out. I think it's a great, great cause.
Well, I think so too. It goes directly to the kids. So what else can you tell us?
Let's let Dylan talk for a little while.
Oh, yeah, Dylan. You know, you can tell all your friends. You're on the radio.
That's right. So, Dylan, you are going to participate in this event, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to be out there fishing?
Yeah.
I told him, you know, I asked him earlier off the air, I said, you know, the best way to get the heaviest stringer is to hang on it, so so he can win that.
Given his size, I'm not sure that's going to help out.
But, you know, so what else are you looking forward to doing besides you're going to be up there staring at the eagle?
Yeah.
Try to feed it a fish that you catch?
Yeah.
You may not want to do that.
You don't talk much, do you, Dylan?
Dylan, this is radio. We're going to need to drag a little bit more out of you than yes or no.
So, no, but, you know, you got brothers or sisters that are going to be involved in this?
I have one sister, and she might catch some fish with me.
She's going to go out and fish too, huh?
She's giving you a definite maybe, huh?
Yeah.
So, do you fish much?
No.
Not as much as you want, huh? Well, you've got all day long to get out there and catch as many carp as you can. So that'll be a lot of fun for you. So,
well, we got about a minute left. So, Bill, why don't you give us all the details one more game?
Okay. Again, it's August 25th. Registration, the flyer here says 8 a.m., but they're starting the registration at 6 a.m.
That's when the big carp are out eating.
Yeah. Well, the people that are serious about this are going to be registering at 6. They ain't waiting until 8, you know?
Yeah, not until the rush.
Yep. It's up in Perry, Iowa at Pattee Park. There will be signs on the highway if anybody doesn't know where Pattee Park is. It isn't too far off the highway. And Perry's not a huge place, really. You could drive up and down every street in Perry and find it in pretty short order if you get, you know, completely lost. There will be a bake sale. There will be there's a lot of door prizes. There's a lot of raffle prizes. I know that the music store there in Perry has donated an electric guitar and an amplifier.
Nice.
There's a fishing boat. There's a trolling motor. There's just all kinds of stuff, all kinds of hats and koozies and a lot of stuff to win.
I think it's a great cause. We got to get to a break, so we'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we had the guys here from the Mudfoot River Billies. They had to get out of here.
Yep.
And go start setting up for the thing or something.
Well, you know, we don't want to take up all that time, but it's a great event.
It is a great event, and it's a great cause. And as I stated before, you know, there's a practical side of this, and not just for this particular disease, but, you know, hopefully your children are all happy and healthy and everything else. But, you know, if you get a child that has some kind of affliction like this, it turns everything upside down.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and I know you can't solve the world's problems, but this is one of the particular ones that we like. And
donate. You can try and help ease some of the pain that these people have to go through on a daily basis. Like I said, unless you know somebody that's personally, you know, dealing with a situation like this, count your blessings.
Right. Exactly. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our 11 tips for winterizing a house.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get back to that because I think we can actually get finished up here. I think we can recap
what we've talked about so far and then back into the final three or four tips that we have. Yeah. Starting off, you know, make sure you got a furnace inspection done. If you have a fireplace, make sure that is done. An inspection, get it cleaned out. A lot of things and more information on the website about each one of these topics. Checking the exterior doors and windows. Obviously, you know, we speak about this a lot when we talk about air infiltration.
And the whole building science, if you've got air infiltration, you know, that's one of the first steps in combating the things that go on in your house.
Absolutely. There's so many things that you don't realize that are costing you money every single day, every month when you write out a check to the energy company that, you know, with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of repair that you can try and hold on to some of those energy savings a little bit longer.
The air quality in your house is a big thing too.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking to these guys, Dylan and
Melody.
And Dylan has the cystic fibrosis, the air quality in their house is a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, because in the wintertime, Dylan tends to get sicker than he does in the summertime because he's out and playing and off-gassing and whatever they do.
Yeah. Stand and exercising more. Yeah. But, you know, when you close up a house, all of a sudden, you know, the air quality in there becomes an even greater issue.
Right.
So, I mean, it's those things that you want to, you know, and everyone can benefit from, sealing up their house a little bit tighter.
Right.
So,
yep. Roofs and gutters and downspouts need to be inspected.
Right.
You know, there's nothing fun about having to fix a roof in the middle of the winter.
Absolutely correct.
You know? And I think you brought it up last week about Christmas lights.
Yeah.
You know, please be careful.
Yeah. You got people out there trying to haul Christmas lights up and mount Santa on the roof
right.
line, you know, in the middle of winter before Christmas. Like, you know what? These are some of these things you maybe want to think about before the weather turns bad.
Right. So. I mean, your house is going to look ridiculous with Santa Claus on it, you know, in August. But
yeah.
What are you going to do?
So, well, you need to talk of the neighborhood.
Yep. Check the foundation. Again, don't use the foam filler stuff in your foundation. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. I think that's the last subject that we talked about last week.
It was.
And, you know, there's not very many things that can happen in your house that are just simply tragedies, but, you know, people not getting out of a fire situation or
Absolutely.
Carbon monoxide, there's been fatalities on that.
Yeah.
And a furnace inspection is not that expensive. Now, my understanding, too, if they're going to inspect your furnace and it's carbonating too bad, they have to tag it and shut it off.
Right.
You don't want that happening in the wintertime.
Exactly. You know, these are some of those proactive things that you can take care of long before you ever have to worry about a reactive or a catastrophic tragedy event that, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can't wake grandma up anymore because, you know, CO got in there and took a life. You know, that's
right.
those are the reality. And, you know, these tragedies happen every year and they could have been prevented.
And, you know, I was in a conversation with a guy. I don't remember if you were there or not, but he had had his furnace tagged, and he was just livid about this. You know, it's like, well, what part are you mad about? Are you mad about the part that this guy came in and did it, or that your furnace is carbonating, or you know, I mean, you ought to be hanging an award around their neck for heading this off for you. But you know, he was just frustrated. He's going to have to buy a new furnace. So, anyways, moving right along. We want to prevent plumbing leaks. You know, this is number 8 on our list of 11. So you need to locate your outside water mains. And, Rod, again, you've got a great story about this.
Well, victim of it, you know, there are certain types of plugs or shutoff valves that you should have, the spigots themselves. Some have a frost, you know, expansion plug on them. And, you need to make sure that those and where mine was placed. I mean, hands down, you know, when they did the installation of this, it was absolutely wrong.
Well,
they put
it
right over the top of the electrical box.
Right. And,
so,
you know, I see so many people. Now, at Midwest Basement Systems, if a permit is required, we get a permit. That's it. You know, so many people want to get by without getting permits. Oh, my God, I'm not going to involve the city in all this other stuff. Don't want them in my house.
Right.
Well, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, there's no way that setup would have passed code.
No.
You know, you've got your outside water faucet right on top of your electrical box. And if I'm not mistaken, not only did you have to hire a plumber, but you had to get that electrical fixed too.
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, you can only drain water down on an electrical box for so long.
That's right.
So anyways, I mean, that's just Uncle Tim's advice. If you need a permit, just go get a permit.
Yeah, it is.
But drain all your garden hoses and make sure that you've got the outside spigots turned off with the hoses off of the spigots. Very important. You need to insulate any pipes that are exposed to freezing. I actually had a house like this where it had a crawl space. And this is well before I was ever into the business, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do with it.
Sure.
But there was a crawl space, and the water line actually came over through the crawl space and then up under the sink and to the faucet. But the problem was that there was not enough insulation behind that sink, so everything under the sink would always freeze. So not only did I have it freezing in the crawl space, but I had it freezing up there. I had to change the whole thing all over. So,
yeah. But that's just it. I mean, poorly constructed homes or people that try and do something on them on their own, run a water line through an outside wall, you know, and don't have it properly insulated. you know, these are the times when, you know, these events happen. You know, all of a sudden a water line freezes and, you know, they got their basement floods in the middle of the wintertime, you know,
right.
Because what is it? How many gallons per hour? Is it 600?
It's like 600 gallons per hour until the city of Des Moines runs out of water, which is
and,
unlikely.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't hold my breath on them running out of water anytime soon. So.
Right. And here's a huge one. A lot of people go to where it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do that, don't turn your furnace off.
Right.
You know, that is going to be a bad idea. Leave the furnace on to about 55 degrees, and you need to either hire a service or you need to have friends or neighbors or somebody checking on your house.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, winterization of a home is very – it is. And you can't just, like I say, lock it up and leave and expect to come back 4 months later and everything's going to be the same.
Right.
You're playing with fire then. So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, moving along, prepare landscaping and outdoor surfaces. And we touched about this a little bit before. As far as landscaping goes, in my view, I know we got a whole list of things here, but make sure that the ground slopes away from the house.
Yeah.
This is one of the most important times of the year for that to happen.
Right.
So,
you know, when it snows real heavy, and we do have those, you get piles of snow that will drift up and sit right at the
right.
edge of your foundation. It's not going to be where, oh, we got 3 inches of snow, so it's 3 inches equal. You know, with that wind, it's going to drift and drip, and you're going to have more moisture sitting, waiting for those warm days to melt, and it's going right into your foundation. So.
Right. And depending on how dense the snow is, what do they say about 8 or 10 inches of snow is worth an inch of rain.
Inch of rain. So
if you've got a good 3 foot drift, and we all see it.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. There's 3 or 4 inches of rain.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and boy, wouldn't we kill for 3 inches of rain right now? You know.
Yep.
And that's just it. People don't realize how much of that. And then you've got the roof runoff, and if you don't have good downspouts, yeah, you got the same thing going all over again. So.
Yep.
But, trimming the branches, we talked about this when we were talking about roofs also. If you've got branches and tree limbs that get anywhere near your roof line, your mm-hmm. gutters, things like that, those have to be trimmed back because when it freezes rain, the weight of those branches now laying down on your roof line, A, it's going to hurt your roof, but, you can hurt your trees too.
Well, and if they're draping on the power lines, please call a professional.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
don't get up there with your big extension pole and start sawing and realizing that
right.
you're going to saw into a high power line. So,
you know, there's some of that stuff you only get one shot. If you screw it
yeah.
up, you know, I mean,
yeah.
the alternative isn't that great.
Yeah. I'm guessing that your family is probably not going to go, all right, next. They're mm-hmm. going to be hiring somebody else to do it. So.
And then the obvious things, you know, move your potted plants inside or anything you want to keep. Get your bulbs out of the ground. Or I'm no gardener, so some of
yeah.
this stuff we just kind of pulled off the internet.
Well, it's things to start thinking about. You know, sealed driveways, brick patios, wood decks, those are, you know, they're mm-hmm. affected by the winter conditions also. And, you know, you should have those taken care of.
Yep. Hey, we got to get to another break real quick. We'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking about our 11 tips for winterizing your house. And again, this is important stuff, even though we're talking about it when the temperature's in the 80s and
right.
90s.
Yeah, and, again, we've talked about this over a couple of weeks. So to get that full list, please go to MidwestBasementSystems.com and go to News and Events.
Yep.
And there's 3 pages of greater
information.
Yeah,
you got to scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see where there's 3 pages.
Yeah,
click on the third page.
Click on the third page to get to this one, but, you know, spend a little time. Mm-hmm. Pages 1 and 2 also have got a lot of great information, but page 3 has got 10 Commandments of Hiring Contractor right alongside of it. So
somebody told me the other day that our website is like 200 pages.
Actually, I think it's more than that now. I think that it's...
Well, plus you've got a lot of pages of script that nobody ever sees,
yeah,
and you
yeah,
know,
there's
I don't
like
understand
800
all that,
pages of that. But I think we're pushing 250 to almost 300 now.
Wow!
With the amount of and because of the news and events, the blogs that we're putting out there, there's a lot of information. Mm-hmm. You could spend literally a couple hours trying to just navigate through all of our links. So,
and you know, please give us your feedback if you want to talk to us about. Well, you can call us anytime you want anyways, yeah. But you can, you know, give us subjects if you want us to cover on the show.
There's a comment section where you can say or, you know, look down through the archive radio shows to see whether we've spoken about it in the past.
Right. And if we have and you don't agree with us, I mean, it's unlikely that Ron is wrong, but
well,
if he is, please call him to task on it. So, anyways, right back to our list of the 11 tips for winterizing a home. Number 10 is to prepare an emergency kit.
You know, this is one of those things that I think has been more and more people are actually, you know, they've got doomsday preppers and stuff like that where
right.
people are, you know, hoarding guns and MREs and all this stuff. But I think on the general public is realizing, hey, you know, I should store some extra water, have some candles, you know, some extra batteries for the flashlights, those kind of things, because they realize, hey, it's just a smart, more of a preparing in case, you know, of a power mm-hmm. outage type thing.
You know, the water thing, I mean, look back to the 1993 flood.
Yeah.
You know, where it wasn't the water either contaminated or
it
not
was.
Flowing at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They had shut the waters off and you know, they just needed potable water. And we couldn't even get that. You know, it was being rationed along with the drinking water. So, you mm-hmm. know, you know, having extra water, you know, it's not going to go bad on you. You know, throw in a couple of cases of water downstairs.
One formula for it.
Yeah.
And they're selling it more, way more readily available than it used to be. I mean, I can remember in the 93 flood, they had the Anheuser-Busch was distributing
cans of water. Cans of water. We had so much water donated, you know, in large quantities, but it was kind of when bottled water was really kind of making a breakthrough. So mm-hmm. I remember when Vets Auditorium was completely full, the basement was completely full of all this donated water, and people were lined up just because the water had been turned back on. They needed to get rid of it so people could come and load. And I was one of them. I loaded up, you know, several, I think probably about 15 cases of water in the back of my Jeep. And, I took it home because I thought, well, you know what, as long as I've got, you know, part of my little emergency kit is having some extra water in the house. So, but
well, you know, it's one of them things you got to have it. I mean, you got to have it.
Yeah. But think about this when you're talking about an emergency kit also is, and we've talked about this in the past also, have an evacuation plan, have an emergency mm-hmm. plan with your family and discuss it and practice it. Because if you do have an emergency during the winter, you're going to have to know. I mean, the kids aren't going to be able to stand out, or you as an adult are going to be able to stand outside for very long before the winter cold gets to you. So you're going to have to maybe talk to a neighbor, have an area where people are going to congregate so you can, you know, if you had a fire or some other right. event where you needed to be out of the house.
Well, you know, and these things happen, you know, where, hey, the dad runs back in the building, which he's going to do.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody's actually out of the building. So if you had, okay, we're going to meet over here at this tree, and don't make that tree 10 feet from the house because the burning building is hot.
That's right. It may be the tree in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
So
we're all going to meet over here. You know, if you get out safely, don't worry about everybody else. Just go over here,
right.
you know, and let the parents worry about it.
Right. But, you go looking for them, they're going to go looking for you, and everybody's going to be
that's
lost.
That's exactly right. So great point, Rod. Have a plan.
Yep.
Make sure you have a evacuation plan if you need it. And it could be something for the carbon monoxide, too.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, you got to evacuate. You got to evacuate. If you start hearing buzzers going off,
yep,
time to hit the road. Okay. Now, this is one of my favorites. Disconnect the sump pump discharge hose. Every year, Midwest Basement Systems gets inundated with calls. And we don't mind. We want you to call us if there's any issues.
Sure.
But a good majority of them for pump failure are because the black discharge hose
flexible
on the outside
hose.
Of the building
yep.
is still attached. For one thing, there are better answers. There's things that we can do so you don't have to remove it.
Right.
And that's far, far better. It's what I've got on my house. I believe it's what you've got on your house.
Right.
And go that route. But these black flexible hoses, they get stuck in the snow, they hold water, and they freeze. And then the pumps are not strong enough to blow the hose off. Or sometimes if the pump in your basement cannot get rid of the water, it sits there and it just heats everything up.
Right.
Things get really hot. And hot enough to where it starts to melt the rubber bushings in the pipes there.
Right.
You know, and we're not going to go into a big involved discussion of what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that things tend to fall apart.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, people have found that, you know, the water is spraying out of their basket because the sleeve or something has given way around the pump, and the pump's still running. It still thinks that there's water to pump because the actuator on the pump is still engaged because the water's not going anywhere.
Right.
So that constant pressure, and then again heating that water because I've told you in the past, I've gone to homes where literally the water was so hot you didn't even want to touch it because the pump has run and run and run and never shut off.
Right.
So,
and there's no real pressure.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really screw the pump up that bad. It's just the rest of the unit down there.
Yeah.
So if you've got these black flexible hoses on the outside of the building, you need to get them off before the winter time comes around.
Right.
Because, again, you hear me say this all the time. There's a practical side to this.
Yeah.
Well, if we send a service van over to your house to take a black flexible hose off, is it worth the service call?
Right.
I don't know, but we still got to charge it to you.
Yeah, well, and then think about it. Don't be redirecting, some pump discharge down into like a floor drain. There's a better way to discharge it. Yeah, we've spoken about it in the past. We have ice guard discharges that will still allow the water to get outside of your house without the discharge line itself, even if it does freeze over. You're still putting water outside.
Right.
Give us a call. If you have this, we have service techs that can easily handle this kind of an issue. And again, especially if you got a finished basement, don't let a simple flexible hose be the reason that you have to call and have your insurance man come over because your basement's flooded.
And I have seen, I've been in this business for over 20 years now, and I have seen where people will spend $50,000 finishing a basement off,
right?
Yet they won't spend another couple few hundred for a battery backup
right.
pump.
Yeah.
They'll spend $30,000 or $40,000 on a home theater system in their new $50,000 finished job. Yet they won't protect the outside with I don't even know what ice guards cost anymore. But let's say $100.
Yeah.
They won't spend that to protect it.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. Go ahead and spend the money. They'll say, okay, well, I got the great insurance that covers me no matter what. Are you kidding? Is that going to cover you for being up at 3 o'clock in the morning hauling stuff out of a basement?
No.
There's no insurance company on the planet that's going to do that.
Yeah, we've got the products that bring the lowest risk possible of these events ever happening. Give us a call. And you can by calling 515-289-1606.
Yeah, or 1-800-556-5697.
And if you're right now listening to us and don't have anything to do, we're still out at the Iowa State Fair. We're at in the Varied Industries building. We're in booths number 612 and 613,
mm-hmm.
side by side, obviously. And it's right across from the University of Iowa's booth.
And you can get some stick-mounted food while you're out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go out there and have, cardiac arrest on a stick.
Yeah, our producer was telling me about this. What is it? Bacon-wrapped bacon with bacon. It just sounded like a heart attack bomb about ready to go off.
With a side of angioplasty.
Right,
that's what you're going to need.
So, anyways, if hopefully you like these 11 tips, and if you do, they are on our website. Please go get them off there and pay attention. These are common sense things. But they're so important.
Right. And again, you're not going to be able to do this in one afternoon. You're going to have to call and set up an appointment for HVAC inspection. If anything that we've talked about needs to be serviced, it's going to take some time. If you need to hire a contractor, follow our 10 commandments of hiring a contractor.
Yep. Which is also on there. If you go to the About Us section and go down to resources, I think?
News and events.
News and events.
Yeah,
okay.
News and events, and then click. And there's three pages of information. Just make sure you cycle all the way through.
Okay. And then, the hiring contractor thing is something we wrote because we truly were getting a lot of mail about, how do you do this? How do you hire a contractor and be sure that he's not going to take your money and run?
And when we've talked to our customers, people that have been taken advantage of, as a good quality, reputable company, we always seem to be trying to rebuild trust, because people have been taken advantage of.
Rebuild the ability to even have the work done.
Right.
Some of the things that Midwest Basement Systems does are kind of expensive. Can you do them twice?
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyways, that's it for today. We will talk to you next week.